Jeremiah this morning, Jeremiah chapter 10, if you would. While you're turning there, I might remind you folks, there's some sheets on the desk in the foyer for you to sign up for food you'll bring for the International Supper, and we need you to do that, all right? I think we have American table, a Mexican table, an Italian table, and Asian table. We have to use correct terminology, so Asian table. So anyway, you say, well, I've got a Hungarian dish. Bring it. Just stick it anywhere. We'll never know the difference, all right? And do that. Now, just bring something. Now, Mrs. Starkey, I know you cook some amazing Italian food. I've been told that. So we sure would like it if you could bring us. Do what? Okay. I like to pick on people, all right, son. I do my best to do it, all right. You're there in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 10. I want you to look down in your Bible. We're just going to read one verse. One verse this morning. And to be honest with you, I'm just going to brag on God a little bit today, all right? I think it's a good thing to do. Jeremiah chapter 10, look if you will at verse 10. The Bible said, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you today for your help as I preach. Lord, I believe this is what you would have me preach today, and ask you to help me preach it first. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. I am a people watcher. I like to watch people. I can go to the mall. I don't like to go to the mall, but I can go. Fortunately, I haven't had to go in years, and I'm glad of that. I can go, though, if forced into it, and I can just sit there and watch people come by. It's just interesting to me to watch people. And one of the things I like to watch is, and I find very interesting, it's interesting to watch and see how people, how folks make choices that they do. The way they go about deciding, for instance, which car they will drive, or which restaurant they will give their business to, or even which team they'll root for, or which dog they will select as a pet. Maybe even which doctor they'll use, what school their kids will attend, hey, what Bible you use, and what church you'll attend. And to be honest with you, I just go on and on and on. We make those decisions, and sometimes people base most of their decisions on emotion. They're emotionally moved by something, and that causes them to make their choice. Sometimes it's tradition. Hey, this is what we've always done. My family's always done it, so we're just going to keep doing it. And then oftentimes I see people are just a whim, and they make a choice on that. Some people do research. Today we like to talk about, well, I did research online. Some others do no research online, offline, or anywhere else. And just to be honest with you, in a lot of those cases, it really doesn't matter what you choose. It doesn't matter which dog you want to be your pet. It doesn't make any difference. People choose different things. You know, you like different things. And talking to Brother Jerry Chandler back there, he's got a bloodhound. And that dog can bark, okay, you know. Got a home, and so, and then some, you know, other people. My neighbors have a dog that I know when it's 8 o'clock. Because at 8 o'clock in the morning, they put them out in the backyard, and my two neighbors' dogs bark at each other as long as they're out in the yard. They're going strong, all right? And my wife the other day said, well, they turned them out early. And so it was a little before 8 o'clock. But that doesn't matter, that decision. Hey, it really doesn't matter in the overall scheme of things which car you drive. Now, you may want to be one of those dedicated souls that, man, I'd rather push a so-and-so than drive that. Hey, I don't care what you push, all right? I'd rather drive something that runs, you know? Doesn't matter to me if it's a Ford or a Buick or a Chevy or a Toyota or a whatever. I just want something that when I get out there and stick the key, or nowadays you just push the button and it starts. I just want it to start and run. But hey, it doesn't matter what you choose in that respect. It doesn't make any difference what team you root for. Doesn't make any difference. I found out usually what team I root for is the kiss of death. They're guaranteed to lose if I root for them, all right? So maybe not quite that bad, but anyway. Now, I'll tell you this, it does matter what Bible you use, and it does matter what church you attend. But I'll tell you this, there's one matter. You need to be real, real careful when you're making a choice. That's choosing the God you're going to serve. The God you pray to, the God you're counting on, and the God that you place your confidence and faith in. You better be real, real careful, because that's a matter of life and death. Life and death. And contrary to what some say in our day, maybe many, there is a difference. I've heard people say, well, there's just a lot of names for the same God. No, we don't. No, we don't. They're not the same. I want to tell you, Jehovah is not just the God, all right? He goes way beyond that. Jehovah God, the God of the Bible. Notice what the Bible says about him. The Bible says, but the Lord is the true God. The true God. Now that obviously brings up the subject of there's got to be a false God. Because if there's a true God, that means there's a false God out there, all right? So true in contrast to those that are false. And by the way, there are plenty of false, fake gods that are pushed, promoted, and proclaimed around the world today. I mean, it's not anything usual. You'll find their buildings for their worship around and almost every community now. Hey, you can get on Denton Highway here, drive just a few miles north, look over to your left, and there's a temple to a false god. It's there. It's been built over the years, and there it is. Hey, it's a false god. Now, I know that it upsets some folks when you call some entity a false god. But I want to ask you this. What else do you call one which has no power, no ears to hear, no eyes to see, and no hands to help? I'm telling you, that's a false God. But the Bible said, talking about the Lord, he's the true God. Hey, the true God has a book that's true. He has a book that's true. I've got it right here. Many of you hold it in your hands this morning. There's no falsehood in our God. He tells the truth in every instance. He tells the truth about man. One of the greatest testimonies that man didn't write this book is the truth that it tells about men. If you're writing the story of your life, most of us have parts of it we would just slide right past. We wouldn't tell the truth. We wouldn't tell it all. You know, we talk about, well, I've got some warts back there that I'd like to hide, you know. Well, the Bible tells the truth about man. It paints him as he really is. Oh, it tells the good things about him, but it also points out those things that aren't so good. A man wouldn't have written that book that way if he could have. He didn't write it. But God tells the truth about man. You know what else? He tells the truth about sin. The truth of the matter is, you and I sometimes want to gloss over the truth about sin. And oh, listen, that's really, it's not that bad. And I know I shouldn't do that, but it's not that bad. Well, the Bible paints sin just like it really is. The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. All of it. Now, the things we call little, they're still sin. The things that we, of course, when we do it, it's not bad. It's when the other guy does it, all right? Yeah, we would gloss over that. Bible tells the truth about sin. He calls it the way it really is. God tells the truth not only about sin, but he tells the truth about salvation. The truth about salvation. Listen, the Bible said there's one way to heaven. One way. And that's through Jesus Christ. And there's no other name. The Bible said no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus Christ. It tells the truth about salvation. The Bible tells us you can't buy it. You can't earn it. On your best day, it's not good enough. No, but the Bible tells the truth about it and says, here it is. It's already paid for. And the only way you can have it is if you'll come and ask for it. And God will give it to you as a gift. Hey, you can't work to earn it. You can't work to keep it. It's a gift. Salvation. Eternal salvation. He tells the truth about salvation. Hey, he tells the truth about hell. Tells the truth about hell. A lot of people today like to say, well, hell is just simply separation from God. No, that's only one part of what hell is. The Bible tells the truth. The Bible says it's a place of torment. It's a place where the fire is not quenched. The Bible tells the truth about it. I've listened to some preachers gloss over that and not want to really bring that out and try to say that, well, hey, one day if folks go there, they'll be annihilated. The Bible says you won't be. The Bible says if you go to hell, you'll be there and you'll burn, you'll be tormented forever and ever and ever. Never ends. Never ends. But the Bible also, God tells the truth about heaven. Oh, he tells the truth about heaven. What a wonderful, wonderful place it is. I'm so glad it is not the way it is often pictured. Heaven is not you floating on a cloud, plucking on the harp. Glory to God, that's not what it is, all right? No, it's so much better, so much greater. Hey, by the way, you don't meet St. Peter at the pearly gates and face a quiz to get in. Oh, I know, I've heard the jokes, and I've told jokes that go along that line, but that's not the truth. The truth is heaven, the door is open, all you have to do is come through the door. That door is Jesus Christ. You'll come through him as a place of matchless beauty, and it's eternal. Eternal. Hey, he tells the truth about hell, tells the truth about heaven. Hey, can I say this? He tells the truth in every situation. Take your Bible. You won't want to lose your place in Jeremiah, but go over to Romans chapter 3. Boy, what a great truth there is here, reiterated. Romans chapter 3, if you would. Good thing about me having this new Bible, it's harder for me to get there quick. So gives you more time, all right? Romans chapter 3, and I just want you to look at one verse here. Romans chapter 3, look at verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Hey, God is true. God is true. He's the true God. He's the true God. But wait a minute, he's not only the true God. You back there in Jeremiah chapter 10, the Bible said he's the living God. Amen. The living God. Many gods that are worshipped today are merely carved wood or stone. Years ago, my dad went to Guatemala when Brother and Mrs. Hutton were there as missionaries. He went down there and they took him to see a God that a lot of the Guatemalan people worshipped. Dad said it was made of straw, stuffed straw, and they had clothes wrapped around, you know, straw kind of formed in the fashion of a human, and it was clothed, and it had a mouth, and people would go up, and they would bring offerings to that god, if you will, of beer or liquor, and they'd pour it in its mouth. They would light cigarettes, put it between those lips of that made up image, okay? And that was their God that they worshiped. Hey, not a living God. not a living God. But wait a minute. Go over, if you will, to 1 Samuel. There's a tremendous account here in the Word of God in 1 Samuel chapter 5 of a false god. But it's interesting to see how he was worshipped. 1 Samuel chapter 5, look, if you will, down in verse 4. 1 Samuel 5, verse 4. Now, they had brought, the Ark of the Covenant had been taken, all right? They had taken, the Philistines had taken it in battle. And in verse 2, it says, when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Now, Dagon was their false dead god. Verse 4, and when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. But wait a minute, look at verse 7. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. Now here's the amazing thing to me. This Philistine god, that false god, the dead god, was made of stone. He was broken into pieces before that which represented the presence of God among his people. That was the Ark of the Covenant. But the amazing thing to me is that those Philistine folks there did not say, bless God, let's start serving the living God. No, they said, we got to get rid of this ark because he's whooping it on our dead God. So you serve the stump. Man, doesn't make any sense to me. But hey, our God's the living God. Hey, you can go to the tomb of some so-called gods. Years ago when I was a kid, some bimbo of a scholar, so-called, came out with an announcement that God is dead. Remember those days. I just say this, if that's so, where's the body? If that's so, where's the grave? And I'd just like to know who conducted the funeral. Hey, our God's not dead. You said, wait a minute, preacher, there's a tomb over there in Jerusalem. Yes, there is. But it's empty. But it's empty. Yep. He was there. But he's not there anymore. All right? You know, as somebody put it one time, and it's not proper English, but I really like it. He said the disciples came up to the grave there that first, what we would call that first Easter morning, and they looked in the tomb, and they turned around and said, he ain't here, he's gone. I, that's the way I would have said it. He is gone. Look in, if you will, Revelation, the book of the Revelation, chapter 1. We serve the living God. He's the true God. He's the living God. Revelation 1, verse 18 says this. Testimony. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Forevermore. Go, if you will, on over to chapter 2 of Revelation. Chapter 2 and verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Hey, we serve that God who's the true God, and he's the living God. Would you think about it just a moment? A living God is able to hear us when we pray. He's able to hear us when we pray. We don't bow down to a stone that has ears that cannot hear. The Bible says he hears us when we pray. All we have to do is come. We're even invited to come boldly into his presence in prayer. A living God is able to hear us. A living God's not only able to hear us, he's able to help us. He's able to help us. There's some of you sitting here have given the opportunity. You stand and give testimony how you called upon God and God's helped you. How he's helped you. If you want to hear some great accounts of that, you corner Ms. Noble sometime. Take her out for lunch, all right? You'd be in favor of going out to lunch, wouldn't you? Yeah, you take Ms. Noble out to lunch and let her tell you some experiences that they had when she and her husband, he was an evangelist, and how God supplied their need when they prayed. He helped them. Hey, he helps us. He helps us. A living God also assures us that he loves us. What a wonderful thing it is to have a God that loves you. A dead God can't do that. It's a living God. What a wonderful thought. We serve the true God, the living God. But wait a minute. If you're back there in Jeremiah chapter 10, the Bible said he is not only the true God, the living God, but he's an everlasting king. Everlasting king. Some of the so-called gods of this world came around for a little while. They made a little splash. And then they were gone. They didn't last. I've mentioned to you Dagon. I'm pretty sure nobody's worshiping Dagon anymore. I don't hear people worshiping Baal anymore. I don't hear of anybody worshiping Ashtaroth anymore. They were gods in the past. But they were dead. They were false. And they dead sure weren't alive, all right? They were not, and they weren't everlasting. None of those gods were ever a king of anything. They did not, and they could not reign. But you and I, if you serve the God of the Bible, that God reigns in the affairs of men today. He is in charge. I don't believe anything happens in this world by accident. Nothing. Nothing happens today without his permission. You say, well, why does God allow? There's reasons. By the way, he's not obligated to tell us all of his reasons. Now, that upsets some people. that used to upset me when I was a kid, and I wanted to ask mom or dad, why? Sometimes they would say, and sometimes it was simply because I said so. That's the why. Hey, you know what? I didn't understand a lot of it then. But I've got older, got more experiences, and I can look back now and I can see why they did some of those things. They were not obligated to tell me why. And I want to tell you something. My God's not obligated to tell me why he does some things. He's God. He's God. He's not accountable to me. He's not accountable to you. He is God, all right? And he reigns. He is the king over all the earth today. You said, well, he hasn't been crowned. That's all right. David was ordained and anointed to be king over Israel a long time before he was crowned. There's a great song that says, I want to be there when they crown him king of kings. I want to be there when the courts of heaven ring. With a happy song the angel chorus sings. I want to be there when they crown him king of kings. I'll tell you something, I'm going to be there when that happens. He is the king over all this earth. So what do you think makes him a king, preacher? Man, I'm glad you asked. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. Go to the book of Psalms. I want you to go to the 24th Psalm, would you? The 24th Psalm. So what makes you think he's king? Well, here's what the Bible says. In the 24th Psalm, would you look at verse 7? 24th Psalm. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, this verse 7, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Drop to verse 9. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now look at verse 10. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. That's who the King is. The Psalms assures us of that fact. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16. Well, we've got time. Let's go there, would you? Revelation 19, you said, preacher, if you'd get through, I could get out of here. I will be through in just a little bit, all right? Revelation chapter 19, all right? Revelation chapter 19. Look at verse 11. Verse 11. Boy, what a tremendous passage of scripture this is. Revelation 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, he is the King of Kings. You mark it down, nobody can take his throne. No one can contend with his power. Psalm 146 verse 10 says this, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. You still have your Bible there in Revelation? Go back to verse chapter 11, would you? Revelation chapter 11. Look down in verse 15 here. The Bible says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. He's going to reign forever and ever. Why? He's the true God. He's the true God. He's the living God. He is an everlasting king. But would you go back to Jeremiah chapter 10 one more time? Jeremiah chapter 10. Look again at that verse. The Bible said, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting king. Then it says, at his wrath, the earth shall tremble. I want to say this to you. The God that is the God is a God of wrath. Now, this is where you lose a lot of people. A lot of people back away from it because they've designed their own God and they did it to make him the way they think God should be. They've got in their image and in their mind what God should be. The amazing thing is many of them profess to be Christians. But the truth of the matter is the God they talk about and the God of the Bible are two different gods. They're not the same. In reality, those folks are idolaters who have made a God for themselves that they're going to give themselves to. That's not the God of the Bible. You said, wait a minute, preacher, you say he's a God of wrath. I thought he was a God of love. He is. He is. Without a shadow of a doubt. You want to be positive of it, you can go over to 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 8 and verse 16, and both of those verses say God is love. He is a God of love. Boy, is he forevermore a God of love. He loved you and I when we were unlovely. He loved us in spite of us. In spite of us. He loved us when we were yet sinners. The Bible said he died for us. He gave his son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sin. The one who had never sinned became sin for us. He bore our sin in his own body on that tree at Calvary. Why? Because he loves us so much. He is a God of love. He does love us. But wait a minute, he's not a one-dimensional God. That's not the whole story. The Bible in Psalm 7, verse 11 says he's angry with the wicked every day. Every day. You read through the Bible, through the especially the prophets, and then in the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about the wrath of God. The wrath of God will be poured out on this earth at one day. It's coming. You say, preacher, are you concerned about his wrath? Not a bit. Not a bit. So why can you be so sure? Because the wrath of God is reserved for judgment. That day's coming soon, but I'll tell you what, I believe without a doubt I'm secure. Amen. Judgment's coming upon sin, my sin's under the blood. Amen. Never to be remembered, the Bible says, anymore. I came to the Savior. I trusted him. Hey, I'm not worried for me, but I am worried for some folks I know. Very worried about them. Because they've not trusted that Savior. Many do not live as if they've trusted. As I said, I've talked to a lot of people, and I believe the God they're worshiping is not the God of the Bible. It's a God they've invented in their own mind. Hey, in the New Testament, the name of that true and living God is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. You say, prove it. Okay. We will. Let's go to 1 John, all right? 1 John chapter 5, if you will. Right in front of the book of Revelation is the book of Jude. Then 3 John, 2 John, and 1 John. So we want to go to 1 John. And 1 John chapter 5, look in verse 20, if you would. And we know, I love those words. And we know that the Son of God has come. And hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, an eternal life. Now, if I wasn't plain enough for you, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I don't want you to just walk out of here thinking, well, I just take his word. No, I just want you to take God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 9. The Bible says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how we turned to God from idols and to serve, notice, the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, which he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. There is. His name in that New Testament is God. Now we live in a day where people have made gods out of all kinds of things. There are a host of folks in our world today that worship the God of money. That is where they bow to. That is where they put their time in. They're devoted to it. We live in a day where a lot of people are devoted to the God of sports. Let me make it clear. I like money. I like sports. But that's not my God. There's a lot of people today that have made entertainment entertainers and just even pleasure their God. The truth is, gods in this world are a dime a dozen. So who is your God? Who's your God? Who have you picked to be your God today? Is it really the God of the Bible? Him, the one that the Bible tells about, the one that the Bible describes, the one that created us and the world and everything that's here? Is that your God? Or is it the God that you've invented? one you made. You hear people say things like, well, the God I serve is this way. I've listened to people talk a lot of times, and I thought, well, that's not the biblical God. You've made one for yourself. I just ask you this. I told you the God you pick is a matter of life and death. So how's it going to be when it comes time for you to die? Can your God get you to heaven? Hey, can he take care of your sin? Or are you going to have to face that sin at judgment? You're going to have to do that? I'm asking you this morning. Boy, look, you need to make sure you pick the right God. You said, preacher, I know I've picked the right God. It's the God of the Bible. I know it. He saved me. He's forgiven my sin. You say, well, let me ask you this. You know he can hear, but how often do you pray? How often do you come to him in prayer? How careful are you about your service for him? Hey, who's your God? Do you really give him the position he ought to have as your God? Would you bow your heads this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed? Nobody looking around. Hey, the Lord is the true God. He's the living God. He is an everlasting king. But he's also a God of wrath. He's angry with the wicked every day. Oh, but yes, he is a God of love. He loves you. He died for you. Paid your price. He'll save your soul if you'd come to him. There is no salvation apart from him. He's the God of the Bible, your God. Hey, do you serve him the way you should? Would you just consider that a little bit this morning? Our Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd deal with hearts. Show us where we need to make changes. Lord, help us to do today what we should. Lord, if there's one this morning that's lost without Jesus Christ, if they're counting on their own merits to get them to heaven, Lord, would you deal with them? Would you help them to come this morning? Give them the courage to walk the aisle. Meet me here at the front and say, preacher, I need to trust the Lord. I need to trust him. Lord, there's Christians here, name is name, but Lord, they're not consciously serving you. Would you deal with them today? Deal with our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand this morning as we sing?